Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, especially those of you that are visiting with us. We're delighted that you're here, and we hope and trust that as we study the Word of the Lord, that it will be encouragement to you and all of us, build us up in the most holy faith. I do want to take a few minutes to tell you about the condition of my wife. I don't know what you would do at about 9 o'clock Wednesday morning, but she and I were getting ready to go to Dr. Haplin's. And she hadn't been feeling well the night before. And I was helping her with her clothes and all that. Isn't that a good husband? Help out with the wife. And she sat down on the edge of the bed. I was standing just a little ways away from her. And my grandson spent the night with us. He was about over there. And I want to tell you, I had the most shocking experience that I've had in many a day. As we were talking, suddenly she just folded up. And before I could get to her, grab her, she fell completely on the floor. Her head missed the chest of drawers about that much. Her glasses went in one direction, and when I tried to pick her up, began to pick her up, she wasn't breathing. And I don't know what to hardly do other than tell my grandson, grab me a rag, wash it, get it some water. And he did that immediately. And I began to stroke her head and her neck. And finally, the blood began to circulate in her body again. What do you do? Call 911. And she said, I'm going to be all right. She didn't remember a thing that happened. And I said, honey, we're going to the emergency room. And just a little while they came, they took us to the Madison ER. Couldn't ride with her, naturally. But when I got there, they had me to stay in the outside there in the waiting room. And I thought in a few minutes they'd come and get me, but it was like 35, 45 minutes. Finally, my daughter had gotten there, family, and they told us we could go in and see my wife, see Ann, and I was just thrilled to death that she was at a place where I felt very comfortable about. As soon as I walked in, Dr. Williams was standing there and a bunch of other people that had been taking care of her. And she said, then you're Mr. McDaniel or something like that. And yes, I'm her husband. She said, we have a problem. Your wife, as I was talking to her, and after we'd already gotten her hooked up to the monitor, said her heart stopped. And she flatlined. Said, I was watching everything. And we have all the data here. I said, she's got a problem. And we're going to have to transfer her to the Huntsville Hospital. It's shocking. It can happen just like that, which it did. And so the ambulance was called and she was transferred over to Huntsville Hospital. Now, the last few days have been a very, very difficult time for us. Finally, they said she needed a pacemaker, which they put in Friday. We were just elated thinking, oh, there's okay. And then the doctor came in Saturday or late Friday evening after it was over. He said, Mr. McDaniel, she says, I'm sorry that we didn't get the report from the test that we gave her, the stress test, and said there is an abnormality that we're going to have to find out about. And he said, we're sorry that we didn't get the report because we would have stopped the pacemaker insertion until afterwards so we could have done it all together at one time. She wouldn't have to be put to sleep twice so quickly. Well, that's where we are now. And I said, I was talking to Judy a while ago. I said, you know, God's so good. Ann needed that pacemaker. And God saw to it. She got it. Because she could have had something else after that, but between then and then, but Monday. I completely depended on God. And I want to thank you. And she told me this morning to tell you she missed you. And she loves you. We do. And just keep praying. Because I know God is so good. Don't stand up, but let's sing that song. Would you? And then we'll go into the sermon. God is... God is so good, He's so good to me. Jesus is real, Jesus is real, Jesus is real, He's so real to me. He saved my soul. He saved my soul, He saved my soul, and He made me whole. I praise His name, I praise His name, I praise His name, He's so good to me. Tomorrow, the Lord willing, she'll have a heart catheterization. And I just ask you to pray. Ask God to help her, as He already has. And may He help us all to do His will. One of the greatest things in life is to be able to preach the wonderful Word of the Lord. Staying in God's Word, simply telling what God says, knowing that God is telling us all the truth. And today, as Danny did a good job in reading to us concerning, Paul's writing to Timothy, and I want you to notice, when I was reading that the other day and sat down and began to work up this sermon, I said, that's what I want to preach on next Sunday. There's an expression that's used by Paul as he writes here, and he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain. Boy, couldn't we preach on that today. Just be content with what you have. Give thanks to God and be praising God and glorifying God. And then he makes this statement. For we brought nothing into this world. How many, what did you bring? What did any of us bring into this world? Remember Job? Job says, I came into this world naked, I came into this world. And naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Ah, but he says, Paul writes, he brought nothing to this world. But that expression there, I'd never noted that carefully. It is certain. It is what? It is certain. You know for a surety. It's an established fact without any doubt. What is he saying? He says, we brought nothing to this world, and it is certain that we can carry nothing out. Not a single thing. I've heard people be buried in a car that they really thought a lot of. Had a young man one time. His family had to bury him when he was 16, I believe 16 years of age. And he liked these. At that time they had the, that's been many years ago, had the recorders. And you could tape record different things. He loved that. And his mother said, I want that to go in the casket with him. He didn't carry it with him. It was just in the ground. Because whenever you die, you leave this world. You go back to God who sent you here, who breathed His breath of life into you. That's clearly stated in Ecclesiastes 12. No wonder then, when Paul says, well, we brought nothing to this world, and it is certain. There's no doubt about it. It's an established fact that we can carry nothing out, and having food and raiment, let us there be with content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snare, and to many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. My friend, yes, we know for a surety some things, because God has told us. We don't have to guess about it. We don't argue about it. It's certain. We know. No wonder when we go to the Word of God, elders are told to feed the flock of God. And then the Bible tells us that the elders are told at Ephesus, Paul said, "For after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them." Preachers are warned. Preachers are warned to take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Why? Because we're all responsible to a God who loves us and cares, but every member is warned. Paul even said to these brethren in Acts chapter 20, verse 31, "So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years I never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears." Here's a preacher that loved them, cared for them, night and day. He's praying for them. And notice what he used the expression. He says, "Night and day with tears." There's dangers confronting the church of the Lord. And we need to make sure that you and I know what those dangers are and do not succumb to them. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves," the elders were told. And then he says in the very end, "Therefore I cease not to warn everyone day and night with tears." Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Now that is certain. You need the armor of God. We're fighting a fight. We're fighting a fight today with the devil. The devil is seeking to get everything, everyone he possibly can to follow him. But beloved, if you've got on the whole armor of God, you may be able to withstand in the day of day. In the evil day, and having done all, Paul said, "Stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." There we are. God tells us, here's what you want, need to be, to have on. Why? You're fighting. You're fighting against the devil. And you can overcome him by having on the whole armor of God. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And Paul says, and also for me. That utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may boldly speak as I ought to see. Let's observe a few things. That it is certain. Nobody can argue with it. It's established. We know it's true. The Word of God tells us. We know God says that ignorance, it's certain to lead people to destruction. Who wants to be destroyed? Who wants to be separated from God? Look at what happens to those that are ignorant. The Bible tells us in the book of Hosea 4 and verse 6, "My people are destroyed." God, why do you say it? My people. You mean the people that belong to God? Yes. And what is He saying to my people? They're destroyed for lack of knowledge. "Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing that thou hast forgotten the law of God. I will also forget thy children." No wonder we read in John 6, verse 45. Jesus said, "It's written." It's certain. "It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God." How are we going to know about God? By being taught. But will we even listen? Will we read the Scriptures? Will we pay attention to sermons? No wonder Hosea says, "Of God my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." In 2 Timothy 2, verse 15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And then we read in Colossians 1, verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will, and in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Paul, remember, tells us what happens to those that are ignorant. As he beheld those people in Athens, the Bible says he stood in the midst of Mars Hill and he said, "Ye men of Athens, I understand, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.'" You're worshiping a God that you don't know. You got an altar erected to Him. But you can't worship the true and the living God without knowledge. "Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, I, Him declare I unto you." God that made the world and all things therein. Look at all the things He says. "Dwelleth not in temples made with hands." One. Two. "Neither is worship with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all." God doesn't need anything. God has everything. All he wants is for people to be his people. "Hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth." There is no respect of person with God. Black, white, whatever you are. Young, middle-aged, whoever. Cornelius was really told that when Peter said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons," in Acts 10, 34 and 35. "He hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him." Though, number five, He's really not far from any one of us. He's not. He really isn't. And then He says, "For in Him we live and move and have our very being. As certain also of your own poets have said, for ye, we are also His offspring." And then, listen to the conclusion. "For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device." And the times of this ignorance, what will ignorance do? It is certain to destroy. Lead men to destruction. And God says the times of this ignorance, God went that, but now commendeth all men everywhere to repent, because He hath appointed the day into which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some of them mocked. And others said, "We want to hear more about this matter." So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto Him and believed. There were those that listened, and there were those that did believe, among the which was Dosis and the Arigite and the woman named Damaris and others with them. It is certain that ignorance would lead to destruction. And that's why we have to seek to know more and more God's will. You know what else will happen, number two? You read the Word of the Lord sometimes, but you know what? If you don't read it and read it a lot, you know what's going to happen? You neglect the things that you have heard. Listen to this beautiful passage. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard." Who? Us. Doing what? Heeding. Listening to. Paying attention to. To what? The things that we've heard. "Lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard Him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will." It is certain. Certain. If we neglect those things that we have heard from the Word of the Lord, we let them slip. We drift away from them. And then we have no salvation. You can allow worldliness to crowd the Lord out. Love not the world. Don't we need that? I think I do. Do you? John says in 1 John 2:15, and said, don't love the world. Look what he says. Neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it's not of the Father, but is of the world. But look what the passage really emphasizes. For the world passeth away. Friends, I want to tell you something. That's certain. It is certain the day's coming when the world will pass away. And look what happens. And the world passeth away. And all the lust in the world, all of that, it will pass away. But this is certain too. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I want to be among that number, don't you? Sure you do. I want to be more faithful, don't you? I want to thank God that He's given us opportunity, every opportunity we have, to learn more about God's will and hate the world, because we know, just like Demas, Paul said, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this old present world. Here's a disciple of the Lord. No wonder James tells us in James 1, verse 27, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father's list, to visit the fathers and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world that will pass away. And we know that's certain. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, the works of the flesh are enumerated. You can't hardly turn on a television program. Some of these commercials today are just terrible. I saw one at the hospital the other day. I can't believe it's on there. And just think of all the terribleness. People's minds are being poisoned. Friend, I want to tell you, it's certain. God says it. That the works of the flesh will bring about damnation to one's soul. It's certain that error of God's ways will lead us to being rejected and be accursed. You've got to know your Bible. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalms 119, 104 and 105. Yes, in Galatians 1, verses 8 and 9. Listen to what Paul said to these Galatians. But though we, that's Paul, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let that man be rejected. Let that man be accursed. Paul said, if I preach anything that I'm not supposed, let me be accursed. As we have said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. There was a man named Peter, the apostle. He wasn't acting right. He was preaching one thing and practicing something else. The Bible says, but when Peter was come to Antioch, Paul said, I withstood him to the face, because you see, he was to be blamed. What was he doing? Paul, for before that certain came from James, he ate with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. He was playing the part of a hypocrite. Why, even the others disassembled with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, you mean here is a preacher that is correcting another, an apostle, Peter? Yes, why? Because you see, it's certain that error can influence others and lead one away from God. But when I saw they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why? Why? Why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Peter, wake up. Peter, you're to blame. It is certain that you and I must have the truth and walk in it. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4, is talking about giving of the alms and doing those things, even our praying before God. It's got to be for the purpose of bringing glory to God and not for our own. Now let me emphasize, it is certain that we cannot compromise truth with error. Can't be and be pleasing to God. Have no fellowship. You can't read that verse without understanding that God said it. And it's certain, it's truth, that we have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. In Galatians 2, but when Peter was come to Antioch, remember, he said, I withstood him to the face. He reproved him. Let me tell you something this morning in Jude verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should, what? Earnestly, diligently, do what? Contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We can't mix up with those who are not walking in truth. Why? It is certain, as God has said, that we'll be ourselves a curse. In Philippians 1:27, Paul says to the Philippians, let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. When people can tell you that's all right for you, go out and get you a drink of whiskey. It's okay for you if you want to have some beer. That social drinking is fine, it's good. Some of our brethren are advocating today, those things are just fine, they're just social, and there's nothing wrong with that. Why does the Bible then tell us that the work of the flesh, which that one of them is the part that will be separated from God? Why do people advocate today that it's all right for a man to live with another man, marry them? A woman live with another woman, marry her, let them have kids by somebody else. Friend, it's certain. We cannot compromise the truth. What does God say? We must speak where the Bible speaks. We must be silent where the Bible is silent. And our conversation's got to be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. You remember the parable that Jesus gave in Luke 8? And that which fell among the thorns are they which would they have heard go forth and they're choked with the cares and the riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Remember, we brought nothing into this world. And it is certain that we will not carry anything out when we leave. And of the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And God pleads with them to turn. It's certain, finally, if we don't live for Christ, in that short span of time that we have. My friend, if we don't live for Him, we won't live with Him. Listen to what the Bible says. In Matthew 12:30, he that is not with me is against me. That is saying what? You're either for me or you're against me. There's no middle ground. And he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. No wonder. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 13, hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And if we suffer, we shall also reign with him, Paul says in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And therefore, there it is. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. But oh, isn't it beautiful to read the last? If we are faithful to Him, we will live with Him forever. Boy, I mean, tell you, when you see how close we are to death, young, middle-aged, or what, I'm hearing of more people in their 40s and their 50s who have just, their bodies are being wrecked with cancer. People that I consider to be just young. Friend, I could tell you the story after story of people I've heard in the last 6 months. 32 years old. Some 41 years old. Others younger, some a little bit older. One went to the doctor the other day just for a gallbladder surgery. When they cut him open, they found out that he was eaten up with cancer, that he only has a few days to live. I don't say that to scare you, but yet we ought to be scared. Because you see, it is certain that you brought nothing in, but you're going out. I didn't bring anything in, and I'm going out. And there's not anything in the world we're going to take with us. Today, as we think of what Paul said to Timothy, yes, godliness with contentment is great gain. And the reason for that is because we brought nothing here. And it's certain we'll not carry anything out. If you're not a Christian this morning, why aren't you? Don't you believe this book? What the Bible says about your soul? If you're not with Jesus, you're against Him. What does that mean? Your last breath. Your life will be determined. That's why Jesus said, you go, guy, and preach. Matt, preach. Al, preach. Britt, preach. Britt, preach. Stuart, preach. Preach what? What is certain? What comes from God? When I thought I just about lost my wife, I'll tell you what, I knew then how grateful I was that here was a precious soul that lived with me, soon will be 62 years. And she's been the backbone of this old man. She's a good woman. And that's why I beg you to pray for her. I want her to live. But God's will is to be done. And I want you this morning, if you're not a Christian, to come forward and be baptized for the remission of your sins. Because that's what the Bible says. And that's what God wants. And when Saul was told, why tarrest thou? Don't wait around. Why tarrest thou? Rise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And if you're not ready to meet the Lord as a Christian, get it right. Make sure you're ready. Because it's certain that we brought nothing into this world and will not carry anything out. What a wonderful thing to know that Jesus paid it all. Are you ready to obey the gospel? You ready to be restored to your Lord? Give me your hand, but God, your heart. Obey Him from the heart. Do His will, won't you? As we sing this beautiful hymn that Brad has selected.